you can do your run up. Welcome to Skimmate, Rich. So do your normal run up without having the audio.
We're starting? Oh, you call it a run up. I call it billboarding.
Billboarding, okay.
Oh, so welcome to a shelter in place episode of the Skimmate podcast. Today we're going to talk about long overdue. We're going to talk about why it's long overdue, why we're sheltering in place, and more stuff about those two topics. Because seriously, is there really anything else we should talk about right now? I don't think so.
Is there anything anybody's really talking about other than this right now?
No, it isn't. So as I'm sure as everyone knows, Terrence and I are in California, and we are sheltering in place as of a few days ago. And,
luckily, it's not July, or we would be smeltering in place.
We'd be smeltering in place. Everyone's not laughing too.
but come on, a little bit.
Everyone is laughing hysterically because everyone loves puns.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, great. I think we're now statewide sheltering in place, and we'll see what Monday brings. It will be exciting.
And it means for Rich and I is that we have to do these things remotely. So we have a split screen that we're recording it on through similar software to I do my live streams. And Rich is where he is by Skype. I don't want him to get too used to this doing it remotely because I like to get together with Rich and I like seeing his lovely face in person right near me, watching him go off mic and not get the audio levels so that our listeners can tell us how the audio levels are not.
That's why you like it, right? That's the whole reason. We've talked about doing remote casts, and we were going to do some when I was in Palau, but the timing didn't work out, and we didn't really like the audio quality. But I think we talked about it this week, and now is time.
Time. I am a big stickler for the audio quality. I do believe that for people that if they want to stay engaged with long term with a podcast, the audio quality has to be there. Because you don't want to listen to scratchy stuff. It's nice to hear good tonality and voices and all of that. But this is a different situation, and we're going to make good of it. So I have resisted Rich's request before because he has said, can't we just do one remote? And I'm like, no, we need to do it in person. Well, but now the circumstances are different.
I did say, let's try one to see what it's like. And now, so we're normally we record two. And because we have a little bit more time, we would probably record a couple of bank shows. So if we get busy, we have something to put on. And because it's a new podcast, this is the 11th episode, we haven't had the opportunity to record bank shows. So while Terrence was gone and while I was gone, we just couldn't do it. So we're only going to record one today, though, and we're going to see what you guys think of it, if we should keep doing them like this or if we should wait till all this blows over. So we'll find out.
I don't know about you, but I've been feeling really bad about letting people down, not having an episode. It's been kind of haunting me literally every day and every week. Seriously, it has. Absolutely. Because when you have something and people appreciate it, it makes you feel good. And then when they ask for it and like, where has it been? And they kind of haunt me wherever I am. You know, it's like I'm doing work stuff in social media and it's like, where's the Skimmate podcast? When there's another episode? And so I feel a little bit bad about it.
You're out and about with people more than I am in general. I'm now like in a cave in a lab at the academy if I'm there, or I'm working at home. So I'm not out. And, you know, I was going to be in Indianapolis last week, but that was canceled. But I'm sorry, I'm just babbling. The point was that I was really excited to actually see a whole bunch of that kind of input. You know, where's the cast? We love the cast. I was dying that people were making, you know, inside jokes from podcasts.
Isn't that great? It was killing me.
It was so great. So it makes me feel really good and makes me want to do it more. I mean, we talked about when we started that this was a test and we'll see how it is. And it seems to be having some legs, and that's really great. And
doing this episode too, you know, it's one of those things where often in these things, right, you start them with all the best intentions, you get them going. They may, you know, it takes a while to build a listenership, you know, in these things. And so, you know, a lot of times people can't make it through or over the hump. And, you know, we had a little bit of a downtime there because of a lot of things in each of our lives that we didn't have those bank shows, as Rich said. And it was like one of those, oh, is this going to be another one of those that just fades off into the sunset? Oh, that's too bad. But no, it's not. Rich and I are going to keep doing it. Right, Rich?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, I totally enjoy them. As long as we're enjoying them, we can do them. and people like them, I'm happy to do them. If people don't, you know, what's the point? We have, you know, there's other stuff to do, but they are fun and they are interesting to me. And I enjoy hanging out and talking to you. And like we said originally, you know, we agree and are opinionated enough, I think, to be interesting. And I like that. And
people say
I don't want
so.
To say,
that's absolutely it. It's a lot of the comments that, you know, again, aren't just about, hey, you guys have good information. It's like, it's really fun to listen to. And that's an accomplishment.
That was the whole point, right? Yep. That was the whole point. I said, it's got to be fun to listen to. Otherwise, we're just talking about crap we don't care about. And I don't want to do that.
So what's more fun than a pandemic?
What's more fun than a pandemic? Not
that's
a pandemic.
What we're gonna talk about.
Yeah. Not a pandemic as well. Before we get to that, I do want to say, okay. So it was Christmas, it was holiday season time, and that's mm-hmm. always hard, right? And then you were in Europe doing yes. business.
Yes.
Business.
Oh,
business
yes.
in Amsterdam.
Anybody that knows me knows.
With workers.
Yeah. Everybody that knows me knows that I'm, you know, a lot of people love traveling to Europe. Europe is okay for me. I'd rather travel to Latin America or Central America or places like that. So it definitely was work and a lot of nice people over there while I was there. But yes, all business. I was in the UK and then I was also over in the Netherlands and short little one evening in Belgium, one night in Bangkok.
Belgium.
One nice. Evening in Belgium, you know.
You get your kicks above the waistline, sunshine.
Yeah, this is why people like the podcast because our silly references we each get. So,
and then you came back, and then I was planning for a collection trip in Palau, so I was busy, and then went to Palau and was there with Raf, which we have a quasi bank show, which we could play one day
he
if
was
we want
working
to.
Working in Palau.
Do you want to talk about the trip? The trip was really interesting. We'll talk about it for a few minutes. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Right? So we have a coral spawning lab at Rebecca Albright's lab in the city, and we've been collecting coral in Palau for 2 years, right? So the first year we collected, we had a successful spawn back in the city, mm-hmm. and then we lost all those corals. Last year we collected corals, we had a successful spawn, and we still have all those corals. So this year we decided to go to Palau and get another set of corals so we can compare lots of things with the corals that have been in our care for a year and ones that are fresh from the ocean in terms of a spawn. So that's what we were doing there. It was me and Raphael, and I hung out with Tom Bowling. I talked with Tom Bowling a lot about the industry. Also watched Rick and Morty in Palau outside all night one night, which is something I highly recommend everyone do. But we were in trouble in Palau because of the weather. Mm. The weather was not good. And when I say not good, I mean it was bad. It was bad for us where we wanted to go and collect. Still sunny, but it was windy. So right, if it
big
hits
seas or
big seas, and if it hits 25 knots, all craft are grounded. You know, they don't let anybody go out. And it was hitting around 18 to 23 the days we were there. It was so bad, and we needed to collect 14 pieces of Acropora or Acropora hyacinthus, and 12 pieces of Possilopora or Possilopora demicornis. So that's quite a bit of stuff. And we can't just get it all in one place, right? It's got to be at least
right.
20 meters apart so they're not related, or we reduce the relationship possibility.
Right.
So it was so bad, we actually spent about half an hour. We wrote an email to Rebecca, who's the project lead, and said, we might be screwed this time. We may not be able to get out and get anything. The next day, we went and we thought it was going to be bad, and we said, let's go out anyway and check.
You prayed first,
we had been
though, right?
Oh, yeah. I made a prayer thread and asked everyone to – no! pray all you like. This doesn't work. I have to – I feel like –
easy, okay? It was just supposed to be a light comment, and you're supposed to keep moving on, okay?
have you met me? prayer is great to make yourself feel better.
Okay, just tell us about that day you went out.
So we went out. We knew a spot where we could get what we thought we wanted, and it was one contiguous spot. And we said, well, we got nothing else to do. Let's just go look. And as we got out there, the wind dropped, and we were able to do what we needed to do. So we had about 2 hours of some of the most intense in-water activity I've ever done. And we collected 14 pieces as we drifted along until we had to come back in. And it was like, just go, go. We collect a piece about hand size.
Okay. So you just have like a hammer and chisel, or is it just breaks off?
Various ways, because it's a table coral, right.
Right.
And so we try to cut out a pie piece as most we can. And so it was just like, go, go, go. You know, we would find one, we'd check it that it was gravid. We'd go to the next one, check it was gravid. We got two. One of us would swim it back to the boat, and the next one would look for the next colony as we're going down. And somehow we were able to get it all done in 2 hours. All that stuff done. We got the Demochorus. We got the lagoon. And Rebecca was like, she's like, are you guys messing with me? And we're like, no, we thought we were totally screwed. And only because we had been before and we were lucky, we were able to get it.
So what you're telling me is, right, is basically you schedule these like 9 to 12 day trips, right? When really all you need to do is predict the weather a little bit better, fly there, go out for 1 day and come back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Although really it was 2 days, because actually it was 3 days. We collected a little bit 1 day before in the lagoon, and then what I just told you about, and then in the lagoon the next day as well. And then there's shipping. So then you want it to sit for a day or two before you ship it, right? Mm-hmm. Let it mucus out, make sure it's going to survive. And then you got to pack it and ship it. So yes, you're right, but no, you're also not right. The previous trips, we lucked out and we got to be relaxed and collect. This is not the best way to collect. I would have rather collected from multiple spots, way more spread out than we did. But yeah, and I had been there for a week or a week and a half beforehand. And then we shipped everything and everything was fantastic. You know what the secret to shipping is, Terrence? You know what the secret is?
What is that secret?
Big bag, lots of water.
Really?
Survivorship. It's way up when you're not packing it into a tiny bag trying to save money on shipping weight.
So wait a second here, because I hear from some of these guys that are out there that say, well, we just wrap it in wet newspaper and ship it over from Indonesia, and it works out really well.
That can work for what we were doing. That's not what we want, because we don't want to stress the corals at all. Because they're gravid.
Wanted to release and think that.
Really don't want to stress them out. It can work the other way. I still don't like to do that. I'd like to actually, that would be a great study. I'd love to see data on survivorship with that. That would make me really happy and more confident in that method. But this time we were able to put one coral per bag with about 3 gallons of water with each. And they came beautifully, beautifully, beautifully. And maybe we'll even be able to get back in the building after April 7th for the spawn.
Yeah.
So now we can dump down nicely into COVID. We thought about canceling the trip because of we saw what was coming.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I actually came home a few days early because we saw what was coming. I was going to stay afterwards, but it was like, I better get home. Not because of the virus. Because people are going to close things. It took them longer than I thought than they would to close things out. But so now we're home, and hopefully the full moon's on April 7th, and I am pretty sure that we have permission for 2 people to go in and do all the spawning work when the spawns happen, and we have to follow all kinds of insane protocols. Right at the academy, they're down at Steinhardt. They're down now to a skeleton crew, 2 crews, right? And they never see each other because they don't want the two crews to get sick.
Right.
If one crew gets sick, they're gone for 2 weeks at least, right? So there's all kinds of protocols in place of wiping down. Everyone wipes down after, wipes down before. Everyone's wearing PPE, and it's a big deal to keep that all going. They're doing a great job actually with it. The one crew uses bathroom on one side of the building, and the other crew uses bathroom on the other side of the building. It's like you are separated.
Wow.
So we'll be allowed to go in for 3 or 4 hours, probably. We have no idea what's going to happen. It's so fluid. We'll see what happens.
So for those that are, not in California, you might not be aware that it is now, as of yesterday, pretty much a complete shutdown all across California, as well as now New York and now Illinois, as far as today. And what that means is it's pretty much essential businesses and healthcare and whatnot that are allowed to continue to be open. And you're not allowed to pretty much leave your house unless you're going to get food or medicine. You're supposed to stay home.
And currently exercise.
Oh, and currently exercise. Yes.
You can still go out as long as you practice all the things. And I think as people who keep reefs, we should totally understand what's going on. I get surprised when I see reef keepers who don't think that more CO2 in the ocean is bad. That blows my mind completely. And I get a little freaked out about reef keepers who don't seem to understand why we're doing all this separation stuff with people now.
Right.
And I get it totally sucks, but I think dead people sucks more.
Yeah, it definitely is it's a big deal. There's a lot of people who have a lot of different feelings on it. I just was looking this morning in the news and saw the situation with people spring breaking in Florida still, and was like, wow, that's wow. I thought to myself, yeah, wow, the people who say that the kids really are smart and the kids are wiser than we think and the kids, all of this, I'm going to tell them, no, they're not. They probably, maybe even voting at 18 is a little too young if they can't even figure out.
Well,
to get off
I
the
think
beach.
Those spring break kids, I'm watching my kid and all her friends and how they're handling it. And they are right in the pocket. They get it. They totally get it. And they're doing what needs to be done. And, thank goodness we're at a time when we have electronics and phones and the internet and delivery services. If ever there was a time in history to be set up for this, we're actually in better shape than we could be.
That's a good segue. You talk about delivery services. I did see a good friend of mine. I actually commented earlier in the week on this about some of the fish stores, right? First and foremost, there are exceptions for pet supplies to help keep your pets healthy, basically. So as far as the fish stores are concerned in any of these locales, they pretty much kind of get a quasi pass to stay open. However, the smart ones are practicing, you know, new protocols themselves on how to deal with customers, whether that be letting in three customers at a time and keeping 6 feet away, or even better yet, they are taking orders over the phone to, get your RODI filter or your fish tank filter or whatever it may be, curbside delivery. And then some of them, like my friend in Utah, Jerry at Reef On, he actually is, he's run with this and has a whole delivery service that he set up and, a radius that he'll go out and bring stuff out to you and, a charge, of course, for doing so. It costs to do it. And two things, right, to provide people what they need, because people still need things to take care of their fish and their aquariums, but at the same time, try to be responsible in getting us to tamp this thing down as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and we just got to. It's like ick is floating around outside, and people have ick, and if you get too close to them, you're going to get it. I mean, you know this
with
your fish.
It's a tank transfer method right now.
So yeah, totally. It's exactly it. We're totally doing the person transfer method of PTM. That's exactly right. And that's what we got to do. So we got to do it. So we could segue in even to what am I doing? So behind me, I'm in the Secret Home Lab now, and I think we've shown the Secret Home Lab before, but it's totally different than it used to be. It's 80-20 stands and it's four tanks. And the ones on this side, you can see there's a
camera there. Now it is worthy of camera now.
Before it was just a crap hole. It was a 15-year-old kudzu creep of aquarium stuff.
Kudzu. So wow.
It's all gone. The tanks on this side here can be totally it's for coral spawning. So that's light blocked, and it's on its own apex system, and it's great. I'm very excited, but I'm not doing it yet because I don't know if it makes any sense for me to be ordering corals for this right now, to spawn. I just don't know. Maybe I'll know more in a week or so. It just seems weird to be taxing the delivery system for something I really want to do. But people, I want people to be able to get the stuff they need more than I need to have corals in here to spawn in October.
Yeah, and I can understand that. One of the things, though, I think that, again, it also relates back to our aquariums and even people that have to work at home. There is a mental health aspect to all of this that although you think it's taxing the system by, you know, using up that service, your ability to have things to do or to, you know, still be able to maintain your life and keep your own mental health is important as well. And that goes for a lot of people. And I know we talk about, or we've chatted online about this whole issue of should people even have aquariums and what's the real benefit? And is there a real benefit to taking the fish out of the ocean, right? We have this whole discussion all the time. And you're like, well, there's no science for this or science for that. But, you know, when you think about being holed up in your house for, you know, for me, for 3 weeks, right? And if there's something that gives you a little bit of, you know, escape, right, while you're holed up in your house or something to do or something to toil with, or if it's not the tank, right, it's like, it's a little gardening and I need to order some gardening supplies off of Amazon or to keep my mind together. I think I don't think people should feel so bad because we're not at like, oh, somebody's not going to get their insulin. Okay. We're not at that level. And I think there is an importance there to maintaining as much normalcy as you possibly can for your own mental health.
So I'm just being careful because we know the exponential nature of what's going to happen. So I'm kind of holding back for the next week or two and we'll see where we're at. If we're in good shape and shipping's worked and everyone's great, I'd be more than happy to do it.
Right.
I also got to say, this is like last week, I was not in a good place in my head. It was really hard for me. We were getting my wife into the house. You know, she's been, her company had her home starting last Monday. Mm-hmm. And so we were getting her set, getting my kids set, making sure we had our supplies without being jackasses about it. And then as it goes for, you know, I don't know, you're probably like me though, in this, that there is plenty you could do to your reef system without buying anything new for a while.
It's true.
So my feeling is, why don't I get everything bitching before I start adding stuff, given the situation we're in now? There's also,
but let me stop you for a second, because we are a rarity in that, right? How many people go get their RODI water from the store or go get their salt water the store? Or, you know, they buy one packet of LRS at a time, right? For their tank. And all of a sudden this thing comes down and they're like down to, you know, they look in their freezer and there's like three things in there. So I get that to an extent, but there's also things. Now the stuff that's the fun to do stuff.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's a different story.
Yeah. I don't think you should be going into a fish store, walking around window shopping for some new fish because you want a new fish. Now that I could be, if they sent out videos of the fish they had and you said, I want that fish and it was delivered to you or bringing out to the curb, that I'm fine with. But window shopping, I don't think we should be doing that yet.
I agree.
Yeah. And you're right. When you're a reef keeper for long enough, you just realize that having multiples of everything on
you're
site
a reef prepper.
Is
That's what
good.
You are, Rich.
What?
You're a reef prepper.
A what?
A reef prepper.
I'm a reef prepper. let them eat mices. Yeah. What do you mean I'm a prepper?
Rich has got
It's not like I have 500 gallons of salt water outside.
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, you're like a little bunker under the house and everything.
I do. I've got a lot of that. I got a 5 gallon bucket of flake food, you know, just as a matter of course. So
yeah,
so
that's why he's like, yeah, I go to the fish store. I'm good for a year.
Yeah. But if the needed stuff, and I understand that this sucks for the stores, right? All stores have a problem. Fish stores, pet stores, bad, right? So I don't quite know yet how to keep them in business. But if you need stuff from them, you should stuff that you need. Like, your food, water, supplements, things that you always need, get that. Sure. And you can, and that's great. But you know, I don't know if I want to add, you know, 15 corals to the system. That's going to change things. And I'm certainly not going to be doing maintenance on my return pump right now. Right. I'm not going to do anything to really stress the system. You know, I cut my automatic water changes down, just let it fly. You know, I don't even know if I want to frag a bunch of stuff.
You talked about window shopping. I was just thinking about that. This is some of the reverberation and effect that's happening, right? Window shopping isn't even really going to be able to happen here very soon. I just got, you know, kind of rumored word, which makes sense that the wholesalers that bring the stuff in, mostly into Los Angeles, so on this side of the country at least, those guys are shut down or shutting down. And so the supply into the stores is going to slow down and stop here shortly as well, as far as part of their, you know, their revenue lifeline, which is obviously selling livestock, whether it be just cleanup crew or new fish or whatever it may be, that's going to just start to get cut off. And it just occurred to me another thing too. Maybe this is something where, I mean, if you have the means and you have an aquarium and you would normally, I don't know, you have a canister of Spectrum pellets and you're mostly a Spectrum pellets guy, right? And you don't necessarily need other food, but like maybe this is the time to start buying, I don't know, the frozen food LRS stuff and help the store out by buying a more expensive food to give them a little bit more revenue that they wouldn't normally get from you. I mean, having a store, I mean, for us, having Neptune Aquatics up in San Jose, who gets a ton of plugs on here, who should sponsor the show, I don't want them to go out of business. It's a great service to me. So if it meant that I have to buy some other stuff to give them higher, you know, return on something, that might be something I'll be thinking about doing over the next, few weeks, especially if this lasts a lot longer, because I want them to stay in business.
Yeah, and I'm doing the same with Aquatic Collection, also should be a sponsor of this show. I actually checked in with them. I sent them an email going, what's going on? You know, do you need any help? And they're kind of, well, they were business as usual. They won't be now. And I would admit, you know, they've got to go in every day and check stuff, right? Sure. And feed the animals and take care of stuff. And I think that's fine. So I think we're going to see a lot of shifts in hours, things by appointment. Until you know, the biggest thing about the whole thing is let's be generous and kind and helpful. If anybody's local to me that needs salt mix, I've got like 12 buckets of IO.
That's a good point.
I have tons of salt too
that I'm not going to need. If you need food, whatever. Yeah, no doubt. I think that's definitely a thing to be thinking about fellow reef keepers in this time as well, if, you know, helping people out with some of the stuff they have. And to be honest, helping them out with advice and support too, for a lot of people who use the local fish store for a lot of support, right? Stuff that's going on. And we kind of are in our own bubble online and social media and all of this, but there's a lot of people who they're day to day on their aquarium. They're once a week in a local fish store. Hey, this is happening. Hey, that's happening. What do I do? What do I do with this?
I suggest local fish stores and clubs. If I was a store, why don't I say what I'm talking about? I would set up a live stream, call in, send us questions. Do you want to chat? Let's video chat on Zoom and just have that open to whoever wants to join in and have discussions. And we can... different things, right? So clubs can do that too. You can have meetings like that. Stores can do that.
For sure.
Anything you could do to help out. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand all of it. And, you know, it's the same thing that's happening everywhere else. You know, if you have enough toilet paper, you're fine. There's going to be toilet paper. It's cool.
I don't use much toilet paper.
I use hats this guy gave me, these orange hats.
Oh man.
Oh, that made me laugh a little bit because it wasn't a fun.
Come on. You got a shelter in place. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. As a pun. That was a good one. So, if when we were talking about this before earlier in the week, we were talking about, you know, if we owned a fish store, we'd kill each other. But besides that, we'd be setting up, you know, online ordering and portals and off the shelf stuff and whatever we could do to try to generate income through that stream, because that's the way we may be going. And also,
and a lot of times people overthink things, right? So it's like, if you were like, let's say like Neptune Aquatics, like, oh, I don't have a site that has all this stuff on it. And all those, like, you know what, tell all your customers to go out to BRS, put whatever they want to buy into their cart, screenshot their cart, email it over to this email, or maybe if 1990s calling, fax it over to this fax machine, whatever. And they'll do the best that they can and fulfill everything that they can off of that list the best that they can, right? With substitutions or whatever it is. But you don't even have to have a cart. There's other ways to do it. You don't have to. It's like, oh, if I would have thought, I would have had my website up online. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and it goes back to the thing I was talking about before about not overburdening the system. If BRS has to ship to a store instead of to 30 people, it's a little easier on the whole system. And it also helps keep the LFS going. And it's funny because this is the kind of thing I've been suggesting since the internet started taking over. You know, it's the LFSs need to get.
It is happening, though.
It's another form of evolution.
It's a whole other discussion we can have on another program. But
right now we're getting punctuated evolution because it has to happen now, right?
Yes, so this is pretty much
stuff is going to change. Yeah, that's great. Anything else on the stores?
No, I don't think so. I think we've pretty much dealt with most of the COVID, you know, type stuff.
I think so. We talked about what's most important for the long haul. Enjoy your tank. Don't do anything crazy because if something bad happens, I wouldn't replumb anything. Oh my God. Just terrifying. I'm so glad this got done. Guys, I can just jerk around with the new Apex on there and mess with that. But even that, I don't want to. You know, it's like it's all running. Leave it alone.
Okay. You.
There
so what's
you
up
go.
Next there, so boss, on the list?
What on we the got going list? For this show? You got to take care of the equipment, it says.
Well, we talked about that. So as far as getting,
what?
You know,
talk
getting
about what?
Well, just our tanks and stuff, right? So I guess that's what this part
is.
So the my particular aquarium, it's doing well. I mean, it's there behind me, and you know, I can't complain. In fact, directly behind me here, which you can't really kind of see maybe a little bit, is actually that F-Low that you gave me that fell off of the frag rack.
Oh yeah, where is that at?
It's let's see if I can. Oh no, that's not that camera. It's off frame. It's hard for me to.
Oh, okay, okay.
Oh, it's
on the side.
Hold on. Let me see. I bet you I can. Wrong shot. Let's see.
I love it. Okay, this is going to be so good on audio.
So it's actually right. I'm pointing to it right there. Your camera looks different, so you won't be able to see. But the people at home will be able to know.
The monkey can see it.
So that particular coral was on the frag rack, and the frag rack fell off. It fell off the frag rack somehow or another, and it fell right into this green acro, and it just kind of held it. And I said, you know what? Let's see what happens with that F-Low and that green guy. And now the green guy is just growing like a weed. The F-Low kind of took over some of the green guy. The green guy went his way, and now they're just kind of – it's just holding them up there, you know? And
we used to call that New York fragging.
New York fragging,
You just put on top of other corals.
Yeah.
Manhattan fragging, what we call
Manhattan
it.
Manhattan fragging, okay. So, yeah, I actually talked about – you can kind of see it on the frame there too, this red planet in my last Let's Talk Reef for Neptune. Talking about how I let corals just grow together, right? And which ones I let grow together, which ones I don't, if they're like super special kind of ones, and which ones I just go, hey, what's going to happen? And like this red planet is hitting this Red Robin, whatever acro over here, and a little whole little branch of it is dead on the bottom where it stung the heck out of it, and the rest of it's still living and growing, and they're figuring it out. And you know, that coral's now getting ready to hit the F low over there, and we'll see what happens with that. And, but the tank's doing well. I did have, of course, I went to Vegas. I got Nancy for Christmas. I keep saying for her birthday, but for Christmas I got her a trip to Vegas to go see Harry Connick Jr. in concert in the small little Encore Theater at the Encore Hotel. And so we left on Thursday, a month or so ago, and left on Thursday. Thursday night, I start getting pH alarms from my calcium reactor saying the pH is too high, the pH is too high, the pH is too high. And I'm like, oh no, I'm out of CO2. And I'm thinking,
oh no.
I'm like, oh no. And this tank will use 1.5 dkh at least a day, at least.
Yeah.
Okay. And I keep my tank at 8.5, right? So in literally 36 hours, it's doing the Kenny Loggins from Top Gun, and it's definitely not going to be good. Okay. So you're laughing. He's like, finally got it.
To the danger zone. It's on the highway to the danger zone.
Yes. So, so what was I going to do? I was like, oh, well, I've got a plan for this because I've got a backup plan. I've got a dose pump and it's sitting, you know, I had some leftover. I haven't been using the Triton system for about 3 months because I ran out. But I still had some in a Triton 3. It might even be the Fritz stuff. I might have poured it in there. I don't know. But I knew it was alkalinity solution that I had on this pump. So I'm like, okay, turn that on. You know, no problem. You know? Well, it still was dropping the next day. I still had to call Chad out from my office and ask for help from him. And so he goes there, and the backup CO2 canister is empty, of course, because I had used the backup canister and didn't refill it, which you know how that goes. And
you're back, back now.
Yeah. Hold okay. on.
Start. You said backup CO2 canister was the last thing I heard.
All right. So anyway, so I had Chad come over and to
We're
see
gonna
why.
We're going
to
edit this.
Yes, this will be an edit in this one. Thank you.
Now you can start again.
Do you know how many of these I've edited? Zero up until now, except for trimming the front and the back.
Yeah.
I've never edited the middle.
You could leave that too. It's only out for 10 seconds.
Yes, I know. Anyway, so Chad came over, and I figured Chad's just going to have to hook up the CO2, the spare one, and of course the spare CO2 was empty because the last time I used it, I didn't go get another one, and I'm like, okay, but then why isn't the alkalinity rising? Because I was dosing like 500 mils, I thought, out of that bottle, you know, like why isn't it going up? And he's like, oh yeah, you have it in the number two solution. Meaning the calcium solution from Triton, not the number three. So I was dosing calcium into the tank. And then and he's like, oh, yeah, because you did that, evidently it clogged up the whole line. So I got to change the whole line on it. So he changed the whole line, got it all together again. And the moral of the story is when this stuff works, it works. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do, then it doesn't work for you. But it has helped me before, and I have been rescued before on the CO2 with having the backup on the alkalinity. This time, though, it didn't help me. So that's the biggest thing that happened on my tank. It went down to 7.1, I think, dkh was the lowest that it got down to. And then I had to, you know, slowly bring it back up, and nothing suffered. So,
yeah. Now you're talking about CO2. I'm going, is my other CO2 tank filled or empty? I'm going to have to check that right after this. And then I realized, oh, but I'm already backed up because I have 2 5-gallon buckets of Bionic ready to go.
Exactly.
So I could set that up if I needed to. I really don't want to set that up, but I totally could.
So this goes to a little bit further discussion on this, which I set up the backup just to back up my calcium reactor, but then it occurred to me, if you're traveling with a tank like this, and even if you're on two part, let's say you're Jimmy from Vegas, right? And the guy's dosing over a gallon a day of two part, right? Into that tank. And if his tank were to, if that pump were to go bad and he's out of town, granted he has people that can help him, but still, if you're in a situation where maybe you're not like Jimmy and you don't have somebody that can come over easily or me or what have you, when you, maybe at least on that alkalinity supplementation, right? Don't worry about the calcium or the magnesium or whatever, but at least on the alkalinity supplementation, maybe having two dosing pumps, you know, doing that so you have the availability to have a backup is not a bad idea.
No, redundant systems are never a bad idea, except you do have to keep up on them.
Correct.
So it's the balance of what do I want to and what do I don't want to.
But how many people have you heard?
What risk am I going to take?
How many people have you ever heard say, yeah, I've got a backup alkalinity dosing pump? And that's not something most people think of.
Set up and ready to go at the flip of a switch?
Yeah.
No one. No one.
Yeah. But it should be.
I don't have that.
Because if you have a, if you're a traveler, right? And you like to be self-sufficient and not have to have people bail you out all the time, which is pretty much me. I hate having to do that. And you think about, most people think about alkalinity like, yeah, well, it could last like 2 or 3 days. But if you've got a really stocked up system, you're going to be in trouble in a day and a half, right? And so I'm just thinking, not many people have a backup, you know, or they're running two simultaneously or something like that. And it just occurred to me when this happened that it might be something that people want to think about.
Yeah, especially with SBS tanks. I mean, alkalinity is the single most variable and volatile. Parameter. And and I'm thinking now, it's like, oh, I know I've got at least one dose head that's available on the doses I have downstairs. Mm-hmm. And I have other dosing pumps and everything. It's like, oh, yeah. Maybe that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we were saying, the longer you're in this, the more you go, this would save me from this.
Right.
And I understand how to make it go. It's when you don't understand how to make it go that it's a real problem.
Like I said, the alkalinity one is not one. People think about additives. It's like, well, yeah, I can have somebody come over and put, you know, 100 mils in. Well, yeah, that's great in somebody who's got a small tank, mixed reef with just a couple of, you know, softies in it. Yeah, you're going to be fine. No problem. But if you're running a tank that's, you know, loaded with coral and algae and rock that's got coral and algae on it, forget about the corals just to begin with, right? I mean, just that alone will suck it down. And then now add on to that a lot of stony corals. Yeah, for sure.
For sure. A question that we got from Brew12 wanted to know the pros and cons of two-part dosing versus calcium reactors, and we're kind of talking about it right now. Mm-hmm. So what's your quick take on the difference?
So two-part dosing, there's only a couple of additives out there that when you call two-part dosing, right, that I'm a fan of. Like you just spoke about Bob Stark's Bionic, because it's more than just calcium and alkalinity, you know, two part, right? Like if you buy BRS's stuff, it's alkalinity in one and calcium in the other, and that is it, right? And there is other stuff that you want to add back in that something like Bionic has. So that's the first thing I would say is important to differentiate. For me, the calcium reactor does require you to supplement more than using something like Bionic, because it too doesn't have all of that trace element in there that you need in your tank. So you generally, my opinion is that you need to be doing more water changes or find some other way to supplement those things in to have a great reef. And there's plenty of ways to do it. One of the advantages for two-part is the ease of use, and especially if you have a really automated tank with something like alkalinity monitoring and a dosing system, you can, from your sofa, from clear across the world, you know, change your dosing on it very simply. Those things can be done on a calcium reactor, but they're much more complicated to accomplish, and generally most of them aren't easy to do remotely. So how's that for an answer?
Yeah, that makes sense. For me, it's always seemed like there's a break point of the size of your system where a calcium reactor makes more sense than a two-part dosing makes sense. And that's somewhere between 150 and 300 gallons, right? Mm-hmm. It's just on cost alone, right? So I guess Brew wrote that he's dosing over 250 mil per day in 187-gallon mixed reef, considering a calcium reactor, but not happy about the potential pH hit. So I've never noticed a pH hit from a calcium reactor. There's a couple ways you can deal with that. My effluent goes into a cup of crushed coral. Right. And that's one way to deal with it. That'll off-gas it. You could put an air stone in the effluent where the effluent goes in. There's a whole bunch of ways. I'm not overly concerned with the amount of CO2 that you're going to get.
The exception I'll give you there is a little bit of an exception that I'll have. One of the exceptions is if you're running too small of a calcium reactor, it sometimes will mean that you're having to force a lot more through and a lot more out of it, and you're having to update more or less the amount of stuff that's going to the tank more. That can create an issue. And then also if you've got a super, you know, tight household with a lot of people in it and the tank is inside the house, you and I both have the advantage of having tank rooms, so to speak, that are exposed to free air, which is a lot different than people who have just stuff under the cabinet inside their house, which is all sealed tight with a family of six.
Right. Well, you're going to get a pH problem then anyway. Is my
True.
Feeling.
The calcium
reactor is not your problem there. I don't think it's going to kick you over significantly. You should probably be figuring out something about your pH then too. And just so you know, I run outside air into my sump, a lot of it roiling, because even under the house where that is, the pH was depressed. I saw a jump of at least 0.2.
Well,
when
the reason
I started
for that
doing
is
that.
Because the CO2 is heavier than the rest of the air, so that's why you have that going on. So in situations like that, even circulation changes that dramatically.
It can help. I tried that first. It really didn't change, oddly enough, till I put that in there. So Brew, I think with 187 gallons, you're looking at a calcium reactor also is, if it's sized properly, which it should be, can seriously be set and forget. It can be dangerously useful. You got to have systems in place to alert you to problems.
But I
Trident
will say it
is
seems
really
simpler
good
for us to run. Okay, it seems much simpler for us to run than it does for a lot of people. And just even the understanding of how it works and what it's doing is straightforward to somebody like you and I. But for a lot of people, it's not. And then when it has a problem, what to do when it has that problem or what needs to be done,
that's
where it creates an issue for a lot of people. And so the two part, it gives you also, for a lot of people, set it and forget it, right? If you have a big reservoir of, of two part and you just set it and there you go, you're good to go. I'm a fan of the calcium reactor, don't get me wrong. I would definitely say at a tank that size, I would agree with you, but I see a lot of people struggle.
Yeah. So for me, that's just the same basic underlying philosophy that you and I think both have, which is, you're going to do something. You really should try to understand what
you're
doing.
Yeah.
Because, it also depends. So I started with calcium reactors, right? I never really did two part, except I guess in early 2000, I was doing it by hand, but then I moved to a bigger tank. I just went to calcium reactor. So I know calcium reactors way more than I know dosing.
Right.
So I think whichever way you're going, there's going to be a learning curve, right? I mean, you can seriously screw up dosing in a bunch of ways, actually.
When
you're going to a new thing, keep your old thing on as well for 6 months to make sure you really understand it. And then read everyone who you trust stories about calcium reactor screw ups and how you need to prep the calcium reactor to stop, to pre-troubleshoot it, right? Mm-hmm. Just like auto top off. There's so many things that can go wrong. And again, I think, having a controller is a thing you really want on your calcium reactor. I think having the Apex as a controller helped me dial it in. And then, of course, having the Trident helped me dial it in even more. Like you took my offhand comment on your website, I think that Trident is as important as your return pump. It is for me.
Right.
And that's because I run a calcium reactor. And, and it's really interesting, the stuff – when I can tell when there's not enough media now in the calcium reactor, and I can tell if I've turned the flow up too much or too far down, or it's so useful. It's so useful having that information.
Yeah.
So,
My recommendation is get a calcium reactor for him. It is, but it's with caution. Also, just so you know, the BRS videos on setting up a calcium reactor and their advice and whatnot are really, really good. They really broke it down, you know, quite well as to how the operation, what's actually happening, some of the gear that you can get that makes it easier, you know, definitely.
I know when I want to learn a new piece of equipment, I do searches on disasters with that piece of equipment. I want to read everything that's gone wrong with that and then what they learned to have that not go wrong again in the future. And that's the best learning that you're going to get because you go, oh, crap, I was going to do that. You know, Dosen Kalkwasser, you know.
Oh.
You know, I killed my tank twice with Kalkwasser, different ways. It's okay to kill your tank twice as long as it's in a different way completely. If you kill it twice the same way, that's totally on you and you're kind of a weenie. So don't do that. But, you know, and each time my calcium, my calc dosing got more robust. You know, it's on a timer, so it can only dose for 15 minutes at a time. And the pH, and there's a whole bunch of stuff. And now it's just on its own doser, so it only does like 200 mil a day or something like that.
No wonder I don't even know if it's doing it. That's why I don't even know if it's doing it. Because you run Kalkwasser.
Ask me the last time I added calc to my system, to the reservoir. Yeah, it's like 8 months ago. It's still reading 12, but I don't know if it's actually potent anymore or not. That's one of the experiments I started, and then things happen, and you just go, I'm not going to risk my system by turning off the calcium reactor to see what this calc does.
Yeah.
But now I'm superstitiously running calc anyway.
Yeah, I love when people online on some of the forums and stuff tell you something like that too. Why don't you try doing this? And I'm like, why don't you go try it on your system?
Right.
I'm like, see this? Whatever I'm doing, it's kind of okay.
It's fine. I ain't changing nothing. Right? Oh my God. And so, Brew, tell us what you decide to do and how it works out. And if you have any other questions, you clearly know how to get a hold of us. We'd be happy to answer. Is there anything else? Is that it? Do we want to talk? That's 52 minutes.
I think that's probably good, man. Let's get this one wrapped up and in the can and see whether or not I've got something I can use. I'm seeing a delay right now on my local, so I have no idea how good this is going to come out.
Oh, fantastic. We'll see what happens.
We'll be editing the normal and probably stuff. Moving the audio around so there isn't a delay, and who knows?
Who knows? And everyone listening, let us know what you think. We're trying this in trying to make the best of a situation we can, trying to keep some normalcy going on, even though everything's fucking crazy. And, if you'd like us to do these more, let us know, because we're sitting at home. So maybe we could do one a week for a while. But we'll have to see how it goes.
Hey, I've got two masks, so you can wear one. I can wear one. You can come over to my place. No, no.
Yeah, no, dude. I'm not blowing glass, and I'm likely not kiting. I'm not kite surfing, for a weird reason. If I get hurt kite surfing, I don't want to take emergency medical away from somebody who needs it, and I certainly don't want to go to a goddamn hospital where
they
have
infected. That's the last place. Yeah.
So even though kiting is like perfect for this because you're all alone out on the water, I may not do it, which is going to kill me when the wind comes up next week. Anyway,
let's hope that this is, you know, 3-4 weeks and things, you know, turn around a little better. Let's really hope. I'll tell you what I'm the most hopeful for with all of this. Yeah. We have an entire planet right now that has complete and utter focus on trying to find a way to, whether it's provide a cure or help or a vaccine or whatever it is, right? We have all these really smart people all across the planet that are hyper-focused just on this one thing, okay? That's a big deal, right? Second thing, all of the, you know, the red tape and whatnot is being cut away on a lot of this in order to, you know, to be able to see what's happening. And the third thing is, I think because this is worldwide and it affects people and they want to do stuff, and this might sound weird to you, is that we really have human trials that can happen and really accelerate the ability to understand stuff that does work on real people, because they'd rather take it in places where they maybe don't even have the same kind of regulatory thing that's going to help find the solution to this, which I know sounds really strange, and maybe you know, but it that will accelerate us finding a solution.
Yeah, and I'll add by saying I think we're really clever creatures, and now we're focused on something, and hopefully we can look at climate change after this. We'll talk about that on another episode, and we're very clever creatures, and we have the internet. And we have delivery. And from what I can see, most people are being very reasonable about what's going on. So I would say don't give in to fear. There's a few nights lately I've been on the edge of freaking the hell out and talk myself down out of it. But don't get sucked into people who are telling you it's the end of the world, and stay away from tinfoil hat bullshit. You don't need any of that crazy,
I agree,
freaking Illuminati crap in your head. You know, people are generally being kind at the stores. And if somebody needs toilet paper, give them half your freaking toilet paper. You know, trucks are rolling. I think we're going to be okay. We're smart. We're clever. We're generous. We're kind. We'll do this.
I agree. And
awesome.
Fish tanks are important, but they're not the most important. Stay safe with your family. Do the right things with the family, and influence the people that you know who's doing stupid stuff. And we'll see you soon with another episode of Skimming, the podcast.
Flatten the curve, and we're out. Flatten the curve.
Flatten that curve.